Producers and creators are the sources of all value on the planet. MC Lobster, the host of the top-rated business and investing podcast Cashflow Ninja, is on a mission with Producers Wealth to help producers create, protect, and multiply their wealth outside of Wall Street in any economy by creating systems and processes that help them increase their production, provides them with liquidity, passive income generators, and opportunities for enormous growth. Learn more about their time-tested and proven systems at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com.
Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Here is your host inside the dojo, MC Laubscher.
Hello, Cashflow Ninjas. MC Laubscher here, and welcome to another episode of the Cashflow Ninja. I have a great show for you today, and in today's show, we're going to look at how you can become economically independent within 10 years through mobile home park investing. My guest in this episode is Jefferson Lilly. Jefferson is a self-made millionaire, mobile home park investment expert, educator, and industry consultant. Jefferson's company, Park Street Partners, owns 17 mobile home parks coast to coast, totaling over $32 million in value. Prior to co-founding Park Street Partners in 2013, Jefferson spent 7 years investing his own capital, acquiring and operating mobile home parks. Before becoming an investor full-time, Jefferson spent 9 years in sales leadership roles with several venture-backed startups in Silicon Valley. Before becoming an investor full-time, Jefferson spent 9 years in sales leadership roles with several venture-backed startups in Silicon Valley. Jefferson has been featured in the New York Times, Bloomberg Magazine, and on the Real Money television show. He holds a bachelor's degree from the University of Pennsylvania and an MBA from the Wharton School of Business. Jefferson started and hosts the Mobile Home Park Investors podcast, and he also founded the Mobile Home Park Investors Group on LinkedIn, the world's largest professional networking group focused on mobile home parks. My friend Dave Zook from The Real Asset Investor says, you can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. The Real Asset Investor team creates value for investors looking for high yield returns from multifamily apartments, ATM machines, and self-storage investments. Their syndications offer attractive investment opportunities that produce strong cash flow, equity growth, huge tax incentives. They are truly passive and managed by a world-class team. To learn more about the exciting investment opportunities The Real Asset Investor offers, such as their multifamily, ATM, and self-storage syndications, please visit cashflowninja.com/realassetinvestor. Jefferson, welcome to the show.
MC, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Could you please share a little bit about your background and journey with my listeners?
Yeah. Let's see where to begin. I'll do it this way and feel free to dig in with more questions. I basically spent most of my 20s being a financial analyst. I was the guy behind the spreadsheet. My world was spreadsheets and numbers. Went to business school. Spent most of my 30s then working in high-tech sales. So I was then not behind a spreadsheet. I was the guy with the expense account, taking other people out for lunches and dinners.
That's a nice gig.
Yeah. Well, I make it sound a little better than it actually was, but we could do a whole podcast on that. But then at age 39, I bought my first mobile home park and transitioned into that after about a year. So basically now for most of my 40s, for about the last decade, I've been investing both my own capital and other people's capital in real estate. And my niche is mobile home parks. So I've kind of gone spreadsheets, sales, mobile home parks, you know, the usual career progression.
Absolutely. Now, the mobile home parks is very, very interesting. How did you come across this? How did it catch your attention? And what was it in the industry that drew you in and had you decide on that as opposed to multifamily or single family or commercial real estate, all of the other niches?
Yeah, well, you know, when I woke up from the concussion, it just seemed like a good idea to buy a mobile home park. but no, seriously. So, you know, I've always been interested in investing. I bought my first stock at age 17. I won't tell you exactly how old I am, but suffice it to say, this was long before the internet. You know, we had to fill out actual paper, and my dad had to co-sign the trade ticket because I was still a minor. So I've always been interested in investing, and that interest led me to Warren Buffett. And I've also been a fairly long-term Berkshire Hathaway shareholder. And so I'm obviously not in that man's investment league, but I do try and imitate Buffett to the best of my limited abilities. I think I've got a pretty good idea what value investing is. And so about a decade ago, I just decided, although I was already doing some value investing in the stock market, I just decided I wanted to diversify and get into real estate and buy value real estate. And I thought, again, Buffett's one of his many maxims is stay within your circle of competence. I had always, of course, lived in a house or an apartment building. I figured, well, I'll buy some apartment building. I don't mind going to work. I'll, you know, put on some new roof, not me myself, but I'll hire somebody to put some new roofs on, new kitchens. I'll make it better for the tenants. I'll bump rents. I'll make it better for me. So I started looking really specifically for apartment buildings, which is multifamily. And just from being on websites like LoopNet, I would search on multifamily, you know, and I knew I live out in the San Francisco Bay Area. I knew I was not going to find anything resembling value real estate in the Bay Area. So I was already, you know, looking in Lubbock, Texas and Peoria, Illinois and Omaha, Nebraska. And so I do these searches in these towns for multifamily, and there would be, you know, Lubbock, Texas, 99 apartment buildings at an 8 cap, which for your listeners that may not know, that's basically if you pay all cash, you get 8% return on your money. You can think of it like a bond yield. But anyway, so I'd see all these apartment buildings at like an 8 cap, yielding an 8% cash return. And then there'd be one mobile home park at like an 11 cap, yielding much more money. And I thought, well, that's absurd. I'm not buying a friggin' trailer park. Are you kidding me? And I'd delete the search and I'd do it, you know, in Ames, Iowa and Superior, Wisconsin. And, you know, I kept getting hit over the head time and time again. I'd be embarrassed to tell you how many times. It probably took 10 times before, you know, I kept seeing these mobile home parks pop up. They are multifamily. They're just not apartment. But I kept, you know, probably took me 10 times getting hit over the head before I finally thought, you know, well, why don't I look into these mobile home parks? You know, they do seem to be multifamily. And, you know, if there's, you know, a good reason why they yield more money and I'm, you know, there must be some issue with them. But, you know, if I'm comfortable with that, why wouldn't I make more money rather than less? So I started looking into mobile home parks. I went to some seminars. I read every book I could get my hands on, books and tapes. I set up sort of an unofficial advisory board of about 10 guys that all owned mobile home parks. So then as I would see a deal, I'd kind of circulate it to these 10 guys. And generally they'd say, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down or, hey, Jefferson, I don't know. But the key issue is, you know, X. Go figure out X for this deal. And that'll tell you whether you should buy it. So I got into this business, again, sort of part art, part science. I was looking for value real estate. But to start off, again, I thought I would buy an apartment building. And again, I stumbled into this then a bit by luck or by accident. But once I learned about it, I figured out why it's so much better than apartment buildings or self-storage or shopping malls or really any other niche in real estate.
And there's a lot of trends playing into this particular asset class. Can you speak to why it's so desirable? You mentioned the returns, but there's a lot of other trends, and maybe that would be great to share with my listeners.
Yeah. So, you know, at the macro level, you know, the someone wiser than I once said, the poor are always among us. There is always demand for affordable housing in good times and in bad. That doesn't go away. Demand for affordable housing grows at least in line with overall population growth, call it 1% a year. My experience buying my first park, that was March of 2007. I bought it. That was the very end of the housing boom, probably to the month, maybe even to the week and to the day. I bought my first park at the end of the last, you know, cycle of good times. And then late 07 going into 08, you know, the wheels began to come off the housing market and to some extent to the economy. But my park stayed full, between 95 and 100% full. And I actually bumped rents about 50%. Over those first, I'd say roughly 2 or 3 years, from about 07 to, let's say 07 to 2010. So, you know, my park stayed full. Other people that I knew in this business, their parks stayed full. So there's just really steady demand. Our typical customer probably has household income somewhere between $30,000 and $35,000 a year. So we present to them really their only path to home ownership. Now, they may not live in a house as nice as you or I do. And again, they don't own the land, but we present them a path to buy and own that house for less than the cost of renting an apartment. And again, after that, they just pay lot rent that might average $300 or something. So we're their path forward to become a homeowner and to greatly reduce their monthly housing nut, maybe from around $1,000 a month down to, say, $300. A month. So all of that means, again, demand for mobile homes in mobile home parks, demand is pretty stable and doesn't really fluctuate much with the economy. So that's one of several very good things about this business.
Where is your focus, Ben Jefferson? Do you guys target specific markets? Are you all over the country? What markets do you guys operate in? And what are some of the reasons why you operate in particular markets and some of the things that you look for before going into a market?
Yeah, so we are largely not market driven. We focus on cash flow. We like to buy properties, you know, at a 9 cap, which means we start off with leverage. We'll get bank leverage, normal 75% loan to value leverage. So we'll start off at 15% cash on cash, and we'll typically control expenses. We'll rehab some houses. We'll increase the occupancy. We'll bump rents. And then pretty much always we get to around 20% cash on cash, sometimes better. So we focus on the niche, not on any geography. So we currently own 23 mobile home parks, roughly 100 spaces per park on average. We have just shy of 2,300 pads, again, in 23 actual properties in 12 different states. We're in, I'll just go through some of them. We're in Washington, in Spokane, Washington, the opposite side of the country. We're in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, about 15 minutes from Duke and 15 minutes from Chapel Hill. That's a great market. We're down in Lakeland, Florida. Those are our three coastal properties. The other 20 are all in the greater Midwest, places like Midland, Michigan. We're in a little north, I think, of Columbus, Ohio, Superior, Wisconsin, Wichita, Kansas, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and some others. So probably about 85% of our capital has been invested in the greater Midwest, because that's where the price on average, prices are most reasonable. But we'll buy opportunistically, and we've been able to get those three coastal properties for pretty much Midwestern pricing. So, you know, hey, why not buy, you know, in a state with coastline when possible? But again, we really focus on parks that have upside, some combination of being able to infill them with mobile homes to, again, expand the supply of affordable housing and or bump rents and or cut costs. But we buy wherever the cash flows. We have no geographic focus.
Gotcha. And you have used some technology to manage all of these parks that are all over the country. Can you speak to some of the technology and how you utilize technology to manage it?
Yeah. So the most important thing, as we've found, and we did not start off this way, we've bumped our heads a bit and, you know, made some mistakes along the way. But we now use, we use a software package called Rent Manager. And there's several good ones out there. So it's not so critical that somebody just use Rent Manager. The real thing to do is to get an accurate software package in place that enables you to track all your occupancies, all your vacancies, down to the property level, of course. And then you can really, as needed, which might even be on a weekly basis for some properties that are in more of a turnaround mode, but you can sit there with your manager even week by week and say, you know, hey, why hasn't the guy in lot 17 paid? You know, did you post a late notice? Are you going to file an eviction next week if he still doesn't pay? So some of this is micromanaging down to that level. Again, as someone wiser than I once said, what gets measured gets done. So having for us, it's Rent Manager. Again, your listeners could use some other package, but having that in place, which does also, again, enable a manager to log in and actually deposit checks right into our bank account and update our software system. So again, we see the accounting and we see the money go into the bank all at once. But having that level of measurability, and again, to then be able to say, hey, there's a vacant house. We put $5,000 into renovating it last month. It's the house on lot 121. Why hasn't that one sold? You know, and be able to really track all your assets, all your income, and where you're not getting income. Being able to track all that is key. So Rent Manager has been a big part of our tech, but not all of it. You know, we also do use Dropbox. And, you know, let's say a tenant bounces out on us and leaves a house damaged. You know, a manager can go in, snap some photos of the damage. We can see it. We can then, it would typically be done out of our headquarters. Our asset manager would then typically oversee a crew to go rehab that house. Again, manager can go snap some photos, upload them back into Dropbox when the house is done so we can verify that the work is done. So that's another big thing. Of course, we make great use of email and texting. And then I'll also just finally mention, we use a product called Asana, which is a task management. It's basically a very fancy to-do list. You can really use it for project management. You can assign tasks to certain people, you know, get a bid on that mobile home by next Thursday. And, you know, you assign that task to your asset manager, or get photos of the house in its current condition by tomorrow and assign that down to your manager. Anyway, so using Asana helps us for each property. We've kind of got a separate little group of tasks. But again, that helps us manage the properties and know what needs to be done. And that drives a lot of our weekly calls. We'll just have a weekly conference call. And again, we can go through that list on Asana and get a, you know, an occupancy and vacancy report out of Rent Manager, and then really be able to get insight into where our properties are performing financially and what needs to be done over the coming days and weeks to make them even better.
You're listening to Jefferson Lilly on the Cashflow Ninja podcast. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
MC Lobshire is the host of the top-rated business and investing podcast, Cashflow Ninja, and also the president of Producers Wealth. Producers Wealth assists people in creating, protecting, and perpetually multiplying wealth in any economy through creating processes that help them increase their production, provide them with liquidity, passive income generators, and opportunities for enormous growth. Learn more about their time-tested and proven systems at yourownbankingsystem.com.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the United States. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Learn how to find the best deals by downloading your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com. That's noradarealestate.com.
You're listening to Jefferson Lilly on the Cashflow Ninja podcast, and now back to our interview.
No, that's great. And I mean, we live in a fantastic time with regards to technology. So absolutely using it. Yeah, to use it in our investments. Jefferson, you've shared some strategies how people can utilize this asset class and start today to get them into a position of economic independence and financial freedom in 10 years. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah. One of the other things that makes this a particularly attractive asset class is that it has what I call a very easy on-ramp. This isn't like trying to get into the world of, shopping malls where you got to come up with millions of dollars down to buy, even a modest, $10 or $20 million shopping mall. You can get, I know this is not exactly the way I did it, but I know a colleague of mine, he started getting into the mobile home park business by starting off with mobile homes. And he found a park owner that was willing to work with him and I think give him a couple months free lot rent and sign over title to some abandoned mobile homes. So he's now got a house for free. He put in, maybe a couple thousand in materials. I think he did most of the labor himself. And so, a month later or so, he's got a rehabbed mobile home and he sells it. He takes back a note, maybe clearing, $250 or something a month for his $2,000 investment. The landlord has now occupied a pad, and the landlord might be getting, another $250 in lot rent. So he found a way to make it a real win-win. And I think he worked up to something like 50 mobile homes. I don't think, he didn't own them all at one time. He was probably selling these things, over maybe 3 years. But he did about 50 of these. He made good money starting with just a couple thousand down and his time, I suspect evenings and weekends rehabbing the homes. But anyway, I don't know how long it took him. Maybe it was about 5 years or so with the 50 homes. He then bought his first mobile home park. But again, he started off very modestly with just a couple $1,000. And there are, I really want folks to own the land. That's really where the wealth creation is. But again, you can get started with the houses. There are some more modest, smaller mobile home parks, maybe 5-10 spaces that could be had for, $100,000. So somebody might be able to work a deal for $10,000 down and get a seller to carry back $90,000. It's just kind of how you negotiate. But there are also smaller parks to get started with, again, for relatively little money. And then you just, you build and you compound. And then, before too long, you do have the millions of dollars down for some of the bigger parks. Or if you want to go buy a shopping mall and do something insane like that, okay, you can go do that. But I'm sticking with mobile home parks.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think one of the great things about your stories and what you're doing and what you've been able to achieve too, and we touched on technology a little bit and the asset class in particular, but you've really carved out a niche for yourself in the mobile home park space, and you've got a very successful podcast as well. And this has been a fantastic vehicle for you to partner with folks and raise capital. Can you share a little bit more on that strategy?
Yeah. So our podcast is simply called Mobile Home Park Investors. It's the first and we think best of its kind. Folks can find it easily just by going to mobilehomeparkinvestors.com. And there's links there through to Stitcher and iTunes. And we've also got a group on LinkedIn, about 5,000 members. Same name. And then we also keep the industry calendar of events. You find all that there at mobilehomeparkinvestors.com. But yeah, we started our podcast, it's been a little over 2 years ago. We're running around 16,000 downloads a month. We're coming up on our 250,000th download, I think, next month. So for such a quirky little niche, we've been quite happy with the results. So we don't hold anything back. We tell people our story, how we got into the business, how we do diligence on properties. We also have other guests on the show. We've had Jim Clayton, who was at one time the biggest manufacturer of mobile homes, Clayton Homes. He sold that to Warren Buffett for about $1.5 billion. So we've had a billionaire on our podcast. We're near billion. I don't quite know what Jim's net worth is, but it's up there. Anyway, so the podcast also does generate for us some deal flow. For instance, that deal that's 15 minutes from Duke and Chapel Hill in Raleigh-Durham, that deal came from some listeners to our podcast who knew that the owner was getting ready to sell. So we paid them a nice, I think it was about a $75,000 referral fee for that deal. And we've paid out other referrals. You know, it varies. There is no fixed price. It varies on how good the deal is. But anyway, long story short, you know, we're open for business at Park Street Partners. We pay referrals for deal flow. We've also partnered with a couple people where they invest directly in the deal and we run it and kind of help show them the business. And then we also get interested investors pretty much every week. Somebody sends me an email and says, you know, hey, I've got some money to invest. Tell me about your next fund. And anyway, so we get some deal flow off the podcast. We get some interested investors as well. And we also just help folks get into the business themselves and achieve financial independence.
No, that's fantastic. And it just shows you, I mean, the niche that you guys have, it's just, I mean, you directly identify your perfect listener, right? mobilehomeparkinvestors.com. Love it.
So it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the secret to it all, right? I mean, I think people try to overcomplicate a lot of things. And I'm a former rugby player. So I've made a couple of tackles and have had a couple of knocks against the head. So I like to keep things simple, right?
That's like football, but make it simpler. Don't use pads or helmets or any protection. Keep it simple.
Absolutely. That's now, right, Jefferson, right. One habit I've learned from very successful and wealthy folks is that they're always studying new subjects and learning new skill sets. What are you currently studying and what skill sets are you currently learning?
So I'm currently reading a book called Am I Being Too Subtle? It's by Sam Zell, who is a self-made billionaire, mostly in real estate, although he's owned other businesses as well. He is also the largest mobile home park owner in the world. He's chairman of Equity Lifestyle Properties, which is a New York Stock Exchange traded REIT that specializes in mobile home parks. Anyway, I try and learn from him. His book is fascinating. I'm not all the way through it, but I'm just learning, you know, some of it's obviously specific to mobile home parks, but a lot of it's just kind of, you know, general life and real estate advice and how he assesses risk, you know, and basically how he decides what deals to do. Anyway, so I'm trying to learn something right now from Sam Zell. So that's been pretty key. And then we're also hiring and staffing up. And that's also some trial by fire or trial by error, call it what you will. But I'm trying to learn to be a better manager. This is what I call Mobile Home Park 2.0. And I've done a podcast on this. But basically, at some point, no matter what your real estate, no matter what your niche is, no matter what your business is, at some point, to be really successful, you've got to graduate from 1.0, which is where you're kind of doing everything, answering all your phones, managing your assets, doing your own bookkeeping, to get to 2.0, which is when you hire people to answer your phones, do your bookkeeping, and manage your assets. And that's a skill to really hire the right people, provide them a clear you know, job description, provide them good feedback and keep them focused. And I am no expert on that, but I'm getting better at it. And I'd certainly welcome any thoughts you have or any of your listeners on good books and management styles to be an even better manager. But that's pretty high on my list to better manage people now.
No, those are great. And Sam Zell knows a thing or two about risk management. Yep. And almost timing markets, right?
Yep.
Before the last financial crisis, for the listeners that are out there listening, he was one of the guys that saw this coming, unloaded a very large portion of his portfolio. So he is definitely something that you can learn from, especially in real estate and mobile home parks.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Now, our core message in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations, not just money. So if you cannot pass on any money to future generations and we're only allowed to pass on three principles to them, to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
Oh, I would say faith, family, and focus. How about that?
Those are great. Those are absolutely great.
Yeah. So I won't go too deep into this, but I consider myself to be a Christian, perhaps the world's worst Christian, but I am a man of faith. So I find that helps guide me a lot. Family's incredibly important in just having time to be with family. I've had three little kids in the last 4 years. And so being financially independent helps me to spend more time with my family and with my lovely wife. And then finally, focus. Again, I'm obviously focused on this niche. Might not be for everybody. But I've at least found for me that I'm not smart enough to do, you know, a little to dabble, you know, to do a little bit of mobile home park and a little bit of single family fix and flip and a little bit of apartment building and a little bit of this and that. So I've found focusing on my chosen niche to have generated great returns.
Yeah, absolutely. Jefferson, where can my listeners learn more about you? Where can they stay in touch with you? And where can they learn about all the exciting things that you're involved with?
Yeah. So our company website is parkstreetpartners.com. We've got resources there for folks, whether they're considering getting into the business themselves or whether they might consider co-owning parks with us by investing in one of our upcoming funds. So that's parkstreetpartners.com. And then I mentioned earlier the link to our podcast, to our LinkedIn group, and to our industry calendar of events. All that is at mobilehomeparkinvestors.com.
Fantastic. Jefferson, thank you so much for joining us on the show and coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and providing so much value for my listeners.
That's been great to be with you, MC.
Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the billion-dollar blueprint followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements.
Thank you for joining me again on the Cashflow Ninja. Thank you for all your support. You rock. If you like what you hear and appreciate what we're trying to build here at the Cashflow Ninja, please subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes and share our show with family, friends, and your network. If you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, you can sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com or text cashflowninja to 44222. I'm also posting daily videos on Facebook and YouTube and will live stream weekly starting May 2018. To make sure you don't miss any of the live streams, please like and subscribe to my Facebook and YouTube platforms. I'm also dropping content on Instagram daily. Be sure to follow us on Instagram to get in on the action. I want to thank you for spending your most precious resource with me today, your time. That's our show for today. Until next time, live a life of passion and purpose on your terms. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.